Welcome to the Songs and Stories of Canada. This program is called Songs and Stories of Quebec.
It was really nice of you to come all the way to Montreal to pick us up like this.
Oh, but it's no trouble, Rika. It's not very far to Portneuf, where my sister Therese lives. Besides, I just got my canoe fixed, and I had to come here to Montreal to pick it up anyway.
That's a very nice looking canoe, too. You don't often see wooden canoes these days.
Yeah, the wood is nice. But what I would really like is a canoe made of birch bark, like the old voyageurs used to have. Those voyageurs, they used to start out right here in Montreal. In May, they loaded up the big canoes and then they paddled all the way to the northwest. In our family, we used to tell stories about Alphonse Charbonneau, a voyageur. He was my great-great-grandfather. His favorite paddling song that he used to sing to start up the river was called En montant la rivière. It's a song about love, but it begins: C'est dans le mois de mai, en montant la rivière. Which means, in the month of May, going up the river.
C'est dans le mois de mai, en montant la rivière. C'est dans le mois de mai, que les filles s'en pêlent. Que les filles sont belles au gué, que les filles sont belles, et que tous les amants en montant la rivière, et que tous les amants y changent leur maîtresse, y changent leur maîtresse au gué, y changent leur maîtresse. Pour moi, je ne changerai pas. En montant la rivière, pour moi je ne changerai pas, car la mienne est trop belle. Car la mienne est trop belle, au gué, car la mienne est trop belle. Elle a de beaux yeux bleus, en montant la rivière. Elle a de beaux yeux bleus, une bouche vermeille. Une bouche vermeille, au gué, une bouche vermeille. Oh, qu'il me serait doux en montant la rivière. Oh, qu'il me serait doux de vivre avec elle. De vivre avec elle, au gué, de vivre avec elle. C'est dans le mois de mai. En montant la rivière, c'est dans le mois de mai que les filles sont belles.
Rika, would you like some more tea?
Yes, I'd love some.
I remember lots of stories about Alphonse Charbonneau, the voyageur. Oh, there was one especially that I loved to hear. Tu t'en souviens, Serge? The story about running the rapids upside down?
Ah, oui, that's a good one.
Tell it to us.
Okay, I'll tell it to you the same way we used to tell it in our family. We always told it like it was Alphonse himself telling the story. Well, the first time I went to the Northwest, I was maybe, 15 years old, and I learned all about rivers, the hard way. I remember one time, it was on the Winnipeg River. There is one place there, it's called the Seven Sisters Cascades. Now, the Seven Sisters is a bunch of rapids. The river, she goes really fast over the rock. And some of the sisters, the water is pretty rough. The river is almost like a waterfall with lots of big rocks sticking out. But some of the sisters are not so bad. The riverbed is round and deep, and the water runs smooth over the rock, like a chute. In these smooth places, what we do is to run the rapids. At the first smooth sister, Emile, our steersman, he says to me,
"Hey, Alphonse, you ever run the rapids before?"
"No," I says.
"Well," he says,
"you're not too heavy, so get in the middle of the canoe, but sit down low and hold on tight. It's a fast ride." So I ask Emil how many sisters we're gonna run this time. "Oh, just this one here, because the next one, she's a devil. Steep like a waterfall and lots of rocks. We're gonna carry the canoe around that one." So we take off from shore. Emil in the back with his paddle, another guy in the front with a paddle, and me in the middle holding on tight. Pretty soon, the current catches us and we start to move really fast. Well, we're doing fine until halfway down the rapid, we hit a rough spot and the canoe starts to turn. Emil, he gives a big pull on his paddle to straighten her out, but suddenly, his paddle breaks. The current catches the back of the canoe, and pretty soon, she's going sideways down the river. The guy in the front, he can't straighten her out. Emil, he is looking around inside the back of the canoe. Then, he throws his broken paddle in the river. "Parbleu," he yells, "I don't have my extra paddle. Jump or we're gonna hit the rocks." Well, Emil and the other guy, they jumped. But me, I am holding on so tight, I can't even move. All of a sudden, shoom, the canoe flips over and I am underwater. I am still holding on the crossbar inside the canoe. I pull myself up, my head comes above the water, and I gasp for air. All around me, it is dark. The canoe has turned upside down. The air trapped under the canoe is holding it on top of the water, and I'm underneath, holding on and going very fast over the rapid. Then I remember the next rapid. Oh no! If I go over that one, I'll get killed for sure. So I take a deep breath and let go of the canoe to try to swim away. But the current catches me and sucks me down. So I grab on again and come back up under the canoe. Et qu'est-ce que je vais faire? What am I going to do? The rocks, they'll kill me hanging down like this. So, I pull myself up on the crossbar as high as I can. I throw my feet forward and hook my heels over the next crossbar. Now, my body is high in the water and my feet are not dragging. Then me and the canoe went over the next rapid. And let me tell you, it was not a smooth ride. It took all my strength just to hold on. A couple of times, I almost blacked out. One big rock, and that would be it. Just when I thought I couldn't hold on anymore, the canoe slowed down, and I was in quiet water. Well, I let go, and somehow I managed to swim to shore. I crawled up on the bank and just lay there.
But Serge, what about after that? You see, when he finally got up, he couldn't walk because the part of him that was hanging down under the canoe was his bum. And that was all black and blue from the rocks on the bottom of the rapids.
Yeah, it's a dangerous place, the river. I used to work on the river too. I was a logger and we drove the logs down the river in the spring. A certain place along the way, you would see a tree with a pair of boots hanging from it and a cross carved in the bark. And you knew that a guy had been killed in that spot. Those were his boots hanging on that tree. We had a song we used to sing for those guys. It was about a guy who worked on the log drive. He is swept over the rapids and he drowns. He says how lonely it is to die by himself in the river and how sad his family will be when they find out he's dead.
Nous sommes trois frères étant partis ces pauvres voyages dans le printemps est voulu voyager dans les chantiers et voulu prendre la trave. Triste est ma vie à braver les dangers. Par un dimanche avant midi, sous une lame, je m'y suis englouti. J'ai bien été de rapide en rapide, sans aucune branche que je puisse rencontrer. Ainsi mourir dessous les eaux qui s'écoulent, sans ne secours, sans avoir le curé. Triste nouvelle qu'apprendront mes frères, ainsi que ma mère et tous mes parents.
Ah, it smells good out here in the fields, eh?
Yeah. Nothing smells nicer than fresh cut hay.
Ah, there's old Lucien Bédard on his mowing machine.
It looks like a big old lawnmower pulled by a team of horses.
Most people now use tractors to pull the mowing machine. But old Lucien, he likes his horses. Oats are cheaper than gasoline, he says.
When Serge and I were children, Father used to cut the hay by hand, and me and Serge, we loaded it onto the charrette. That's a cart pulled by a horse.
But we had to work fast before the wet weather came. If it rains onto your hay, it could get ruined.
We used to sing a song about that. It's about harvesting the hay. The chorus goes, Dépêchez-vous, l'âme tirili-liri, dépêchez-vous, il va mouiller. Which means, hurry up, it's going to rain. And each verse describes a job in the harvest.
Allons, mes hommes, allons faucher, allons, mes hommes, allons faucher,
allons, mes hommes, allons faucher,
allons, mes hommes, allons faucher. Dépêchez-vous, l'âme tirili-liri, dépêchez-vous, il va mouiller.
Dépêchez-vous, l'antilililiri, dépêchez-vous, il va mouiller.
The first verse is about the men cutting the hay. They cut it and leave it spread out in the fields. Then the women come and turn it over so it will dry out properly.
Allons, mes filles, allons faner, allons, mes filles, allons faner,
allons, mes filles, allons faner,
allons, mes filles, allons faner. Dépêchez-vous, l'antilililiri, dépêchez-vous, il va mouiller.
Dépêchez-vous, l'antilililiri, dépêchez-vous, il va mouiller.
When the hay is nice and dry, the women come out again and rake it into even rows so that the charrette can pass between the rows and get loaded up with the hay.
Allons, mes filles, allons rotler, allons, mes filles, allons rotler,
allons, mes filles, allons rotler,
allons, mes filles, allons rotler. Dépêchez-vous, l'antilililiri, dépêchez-vous, il va mouiller.
Dépêchez-vous, l'antilililiri, dépêchez-vous, il va mouiller.
The men, they unload the hay from the charrette and make a haystack. They have to stack it nice and tight so the rain runs off. But they got to hurry to finish before the wet weather comes.
Allons, mes hommes, allons serrer, allons, mes hommes, allons serrer,
allons, mes hommes, allons serrer, allons, mes hommes, allons serrer.
Dépêchez-vous, l'antilililiri, dépêchez-vous, il va mouiller.
Dépêchez-vous, l'antilililiri, dépêchez-vous, il va mouiller.
Boy, we made it back to the house just in time. Look at that rain coming down.
I wonder if old Lucien Bedard finished with his hay before it started.
Probably not. It always takes him a long time because he doesn't like to hire someone to help him.
Ah, but if you do hire someone, you have to watch out who you get. You might end up with someone like Le Gros Chien.
Ah oui, Le Gros Chien. The big dog.
The big dog?
Yes, it's a story about a farmer who needed someone to help him cut the hay. I'll tell it to you. Once upon a time, there was a farmer who had no children. He and his wife were very sad to be all by themselves. But what made it even worse was that when it was time to cut the hay, there was no one to help. So the farmer, he had to go into the village to find some stranger to help cut his hay. Well, he came back one day with a young man. A big, strong guy he was. So he says to this guy, "I will give you $2 a day. You can eat with me and my wife at the table and sleep in the barn." So they start work. The first 2 days, everything goes well. Except the farmer and his wife, they notice that the young man does not eat in the morning. This goes on for 2 weeks. Always, the young man does not eat breakfast, and always he says,
"I'm not hungry."
Well, one day the farmer, he says to his wife, "I don't know about this young guy. I wonder what he is up to. I am going to hide in the barn tonight, so I can see what is going on." So that night, the farmer went into the barn and hid himself in a load of hay that was on the wagon. There was a big full moon, and it was shining into the barn through the open door. About midnight, what does he see coming into the barn? A huge black dog dragging the leg of a cow in his mouth. The dog goes under the wagon, and the farmer hears bones crunching. The dog, he eats the whole leg. When he is finished, he comes out and licks himself clean. All of a sudden, right in front of the farmer's eyes, that dog turns into the young man. Well, the farmer, as you can imagine, he plays dead in the hay. He waits for the man to fall asleep and then sneaks very quietly back to the house and goes to bed. The next morning, he gets up as usual. The young man, he comes to the breakfast table, and as usual, he says,
"Bah, I'm not hungry."
"Listen," says the farmer, "you never eat in the morning."
"No, I'm not hungry."
"Well, no wonder you are not hungry. If I ate what you ate last night, I wouldn't be hungry either." The young man jumps up.
"What?"
he says.
"You saw me?"
"Oh, yes," says the farmer. "I was hiding in the hay on top of the wagon."
"Well, you're lucky I didn't see you," says the young man. "Or else I would have eaten you too." "If that's the way you feel, my boy, you can beat it. Beat it right now."
So the young man, he left the farm. And the farmer had to finish cutting the hay all by himself.
What a strange story. What's it about?
I don't know, really. They used to say that if you didn't go to church at Easter for 7 years, you would be turned into an animal. So maybe this guy, he didn't go to church.
Also, it shows you how important it is to have a family on the farm. If you have to get strangers to help you with the work, you never know what kind of guy you're gonna get.
Everybody had to work on a farm, even the children. I had to get up every morning before school and milk the cows, make the beds, and cook breakfast. In the evenings, I helped with the spinning and the weaving. Oh, that was the job I liked the best. All the family sitting together in the kitchen all evening.
Sometimes we would sing. We used to have a contest with one song. It was about a family called La Famille Latour. And in the chorus, it names all the people in the family. It starts with Maman and Papa, and then it gets longer and longer. Whoever could sing it all the way through without running out of breath or laughing was the winner. Get going to Montreal.
Serge, I think I'll come along too. It's my sister Suzanne's birthday. And while I'm there, I can visit Cousin Théodule.
Yeah, and see Aunt Marilyn.
And Uncle Camille. And my godmother Philomène Lavallée and her sister Hermine. When I haven't seen Uncle Télesphore for such a long time. Or my cousins Danielle, Louise and Albert. Mother's cousin, Clarina, and her husband, Amédée, will probably be there. When I can drop in on Mary Rose at the same time.
The Songs and Stories of Quebec was written and produced in Vancouver by John Bartlett, Gary Marcuse, and Rika Rubsat. The musicians were Keith Malcolm, Paul Newman, and Fred Weiss. Lead singing by John Bartlett and Rika Rubsat. The actors were Thérèse Champagne and Maurice Meloche. Technical production by Hal Beckett and Michael Dunn of Entmoot Studios. Thanks for listening.